Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Rose.
And I'm Kathy.
And we're so glad to be with you here today. We're going to read a little story for the children called The Empty Water Jar, and it is by Soledad Caberte as told to Ella Ruth Elkins from the book Guide's Greatest Sabbath Stories. When evangelistic meetings were held in the Philippines, Eutychus and Tessie Grippo, a young farm couple, attended the meetings night after night.
One of the many new things that Eutychus and Tessie learned was to reverence the Sabbath. It was very important to them to have their cows, goats, chickens, and even their harvested corn taken care of before the Sabbath hours.
One Friday afternoon, as Tessie was hurrying about, she glanced at their large empty water jar with a tired look. "I don't have time to fill the jar with water now," she thought, "or I might not be able to finish all my work before sundown."
So Tessie and Eutychus hurried doubly fast to put their animals away and to gather in their harvested corn. They were so tired and thirsty. How they wished their water jar at home had been full so they could have taken some water with them to the fields.
Tessie grabbed a smaller water jug and hurried outdoors to get fresh water to fill the big jar that still stood empty.
As the water began to run into the smaller jar, it got heavier and heavier. When it was half full, it felt so heavy that Tessie was afraid she'd never make it back to the house without dropping it.
When she finally got home, she started pouring the water from the smaller water jug into the big jar.
The water from the small jar just kept coming and coming. Tessie's eyes grew wide with astonishment. The big 38-liter jar was now full from the half-filled smaller jug she had just poured in. There was plenty of water for the Sabbath, and she would not have to go back for more.
"Eutychus," she called excitedly, "come look at this water jar. It's full. Did you pour water in there when I wasn't looking?"
"No, I didn't," answered her husband. "But maybe God did when he saw how hard you were working to get everything done before sundown."
So that is what Tessie believed. Her neighbors frowned when she told them what had happened, but Tessie knew what she had seen. She was greatly encouraged as she thought about her caring and loving God.
Yes, it's a nice story.
I'm here with John Carrington, and we were just discussing math, and I thought it's always good to every so often bring that to our listeners, the importance of math, and some of the fun things that open up when people aren't afraid of it.
I agree. I've come through an experience where I was taught math by teachers who really were trying to do their best work and making sure I was 100% perfect in everything I did in math. And of course, in math, there's the right answer and there's the wrong answer. Almost doesn't get it when you're trying to balance a budget. So I feared math. I expected to lose. I never could nail that perfect score. And I always had this fear. And then finally, I got to a point where I had to deal with the crises. It was called second-year graduate school.
Yes.
I had to pass this statistics course, you know, and it's kind of embarrassing. You know, you're just one grade away, one class away from getting a degree that's going to help your income and your future. And I decided that maybe the problem was me, my attitude. So I said to myself, I love math. I love math. And I literally went to bookstores and tried to find books to back up my approach. And I discovered a few books that had calculator magic tricks in them, tricks that would allow me to play with the calculator as if it was a toy. And suddenly I found out that there's fun in multiplication, division, subtraction, and addition. And I was amazed. And the great thing about the calculator as a toy is that you can get immediate evidence that you did it right.
Yes.
Because if you follow the instructions,
that's right,
you will get the correct answers that delight you because it's either a silly word when you turn the calculator upside down or it's a numerical result that you never expected. And you go, wow, that is amazing. And so I changed my attitude, and I felt and I discovered that when you change your attitude, it changes the altitude of what you're trying to achieve.
Okay, say that one more time. When you change
attitude is relative to altitude. In other words, if your attitude is positive, your achievement will be on the positive side.
Okay, so set the stage for us. Tell us about your childhood. I mean, this is a multi-generational listening audience. There's some children out there that are going, okay. Hey,
how I was born in public housing in Baltimore City, and my parents were two poor people who, number one, stuck together, number two, believed that education was the key to making the life better for their children. I was part of a family of seven brothers and sisters. Mom and dad worked very hard. They stayed together, and they encouraged us to do well in school. Part of that do well in school was to do homework, to always make sure that we completed assignments, and that we showed respect to the school teacher. Now, that resulted in all seven of us having some college experience. I have a master's degree in adult education. I have a brother who has a degree in engineering from Johns Hopkins University. I have another brother who has a degree from Morgan State University, and he owns his own tuxedo business. I have another brother who enjoys driving trucks, but he spent 2 years in community college. You know, that's a shovel-ready job, I guess. Okay, no political humor. But anyway, the result is that parents who care and help their children with their homework and encourage their children to do well in school usually end up with children who do well in school. It's a funny thing about being in a barbershop. If you spend enough time in a barbershop, you will get a haircut. Spend enough time around positive people who encourage you to get a good education, and you'll get a good education. You'll get a better one than you would get otherwise hanging around a barbershop.
So you're taking this statistics course, and you conquered it by making the calculator a really useful tool.
Yes, I started enjoying it. I looked at those numbers in a whole different light. I said, well, if I can read this silly little calculator trick and do it precisely the way it's intended to be used, then why don't I do the same approach with the statistics book? So when I'm trying to figure out range, median, mode, man, it's just a fun way of trying to confuse me, but I am a math magician now. I can decipher those terms and make them work for me rather than fight with them and end up being the butt of the joke rather than creating the amazement.
So can you describe, or can you, for our listeners, can you go through some of these tricks with
us? I'd love to. Harry Houdini was a great magician. One day he was approached by a mathematician who said, I challenge you, Mr. Houdini, to get into one steel box. So folks who are listening, if you have a calculator, pocket calculator with you, press 1 into your calculator. And the magician said, Mr. Houdini, that box will be wrapped in 16 feet of steel chain. So press 1-6. At this point, your calculator display should say 1-1-6. And Mr. Houdini, you will be dropped into 69 feet of water. So 6-9 is now entered into your calculator. So your reading should be 1-1-6-6-9. Mr. Houdini, you will face the unknown. Well, let's make that an X. That's for multiplication. But just for the sake of people who hate math, that's the X factor. We will now give you 3 minutes, Mr. Houdini, to either drown or get loose. Drown or get loose. So now you press 3 into the calculator. Mr. Houdini, what do you think the outcome will be? Well, Houdini was a bit of a magician and a mathematician himself. He took a calculator, put those numbers in, and he pressed the equal key. And Mr. Houdini turned the calculator upside down and read the display. Folks who are listening, press the equal key at this point and turn your calculator upside down. Did Houdini drown or get loose? Well, the words should say loose, unless you're like me when I first started hating math, and you hit a wrong key.
Yes, that's the thing with math. You have to be accurate.
Right. That's right.
I mean, adding and subtracting positive and negative integers, that throws people off all the time, because we start out when kids are really young,
right,
saying you can't subtract you know, three from two. Mm-hmm. But then when they get older,
you can.
Yeah, you can.
It's called adding and subtracting negative numbers. And folks who are at home and you're homeschooling your children, I can teach you right now in 2 minutes how to add and subtract negative and positive numbers. It's a song called Row, Row, Row Your Boat. All right. Same sign, add and keep. Different sign, subtract. Take the sign of the highest number and then you'll be exact. Get your children to sing that every day, and they have the whole formula for adding and subtracting negative numbers.
Okay, do it one more time.
Right. Same sign, add and keep. Different sign, subtract. Keep the sign of the highest number and then you'll be exact. Same sign, save and keep. Different sign, subtract. Take the sign of the highest number, and then you'll be exact. Let's sing it in rounds. You sing that every day, and you have conquered something that in fifth grade I struggled with. What do you mean a negative number, man? You can't subtract a two from a three from a two. You can't do that.
That's
just,
right.
If you're looking at a number line that starts in the middle with a zero, and backwards it goes negative one, negative two, negative three, and forward it goes positive one, positive two, positive three. But now you've conquered that whole curriculum. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can tear that chapter out of your math books because we solved it with a simple song. And I learned that by getting excited about math and finally figuring out what my problem was. It was my attitude. And there were teachers who didn't show you the shortcuts.
Yeah.
They would say, do it the hard way, the long way, and you'll appreciate it. No, I didn't get on that road to go the hard way.
That's right. We're going to take a break right here, but we'll be right back. We're talking with John Carrington, and we're making math exciting. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joy Michaels. And welcome to Heartbeat. Ernest Hemingway wrote a story about a Spanish father who decided to reconcile with his son, who had run away to Madrid. Full of remorse, the father placed an ad in the newspaper. It said, Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana, noon, Tuesday. All is forgiven. Papa. When the father went to the square, he found 800 young men named Paco, each waiting for their father. The world is full of unforgiveness. Today, let's strive to forgive our family members, friends, and coworkers when they have wronged us. Each of us is waiting for restoration. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion. Or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. We're here with John Carrington, and you just shared with us a really neat song about how to subtract negative and positive integers. And I'm telling you, it is a big problem, even on the collegiate level. They come there, and that little nuance mm-hmm. messes up the whole algebraic equation because they haven't learned that.
I agree.
Another thing that really stumbles them is fractions. Mm-hmm. Fractions is difficult. Mm-hmm. But if you don't learn the basic fractions, how to add and subtract mm-hmm. fractions, when you get to algebra, this doesn't make sense.
You're lost. You're lost. And your bottom line for the whole approach to algebra, in my opinion, and fractions, is memorizing the multiplication table.
Yeah.
If you memorize that multiplication table, folks, you will ace everything and anything that comes down the pike. Why? Because you don't have to stop and scratch your head and guess at the wrong answer that goes into a simple problem that you should memorize. Now I know the nines tables are very tough, but if you would take your hands and put your hands in front of you right now, and palms down, both hands, and I'm going to teach you the nines table, the multiplication way that will make success happen. All right? You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 fingers there, okay? If you were to fold your thumb on your left hand, you see four fingers there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are five fingers spread out on the table next to it. Well, what do you know? That's 45. You mean to tell me that five times, I just folded my fifth finger, which is the thumb, mm-hmm. five times nine is 45? Whoa, I've got a calculator right in front of me.
Yes.
I've got a calculator.
That's six called times nine.
If you fold the sixth finger, then you see a five fingers out on the table. That's 54. Whoa. Folks, we've just made it simple to remember that.
You know, the nines tables are one of the harder tables to memorize.
Yeah, that's right. But you have a calculator on your hand, both hands.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
Those are little things that if somebody had took time to show me that in school, I would have been amazed, fascinated, and scratching my head going, whoa, there got to be other shortcuts. But the shortcut means that you finally understand the path that you need to go to get the correct answer. Answering word problems is another problem. It's a funny thing about math. You don't have to know math in order to start reading.
Yeah.
But you certainly have to know how to read in order to learn math.
Yes.
Why? Because math is wiggly lines. But if you are reading, you know that a wiggly line for a W is that, and a wiggly line for E is another thing, and a wiggly line for an A is another. And then suddenly you're reading, and then suddenly that's the gateway to learning math. So my advice to anybody is read to achieve, and readers are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Reading is so vital and so important. Do the reading, and it'll open the gateway for understanding word problems.
Mm-hmm.
A farmer was approached by a little boy who said, Mr. Farmer, how many cows do you have? And the farmer said, well, I always have a cow in back of a cow, I always have a cow in front of a cow, and I always have a cow between two cows. Folks who are listening, what was this farmer trying to tell us, little boy? How many cows did the farmer have? Well, the farmer said, I always have a cow in front of a cow, I always have a cow between two cows, I always have a cow in back of two cows. How many cows did the farmer have? If anybody got anything over 10... You're where I was when I hated math. Boy, that riddle didn't make any sense, but there is a real answer to it. Because if you have a cow in front of two cows, and you have a cow behind two cows, and you always have a cow between two cows, the answer is three cows. I know. There are folks who are counting on five cows. But, sir, that's what you call being a farmer and trying to increase the herd. But that's unheard of. No, that's unheard of, sir.
Well, so, but, you know, I believe that math is God's language.
Hallelujah.
And so when kids go, we're never going to use this.
Ah, that's where they get surprised.
Yeah.
I thought I would never use statistics. I got a job as the assistant general manager of a shopping mall in Maryland. And the ladies who were operating the food stamp operation drove their boss out of his mind. He quit. And I ended up in charge of the food stamp operation. I had to correct those nice ladies' errors. And I had to figure out where they made their mistakes. But because I had a stat course and I loved math, I didn't mind delving into their problems and sorting them out. And I was amazed how much fun it was trying to figure out where the missing food stamps were. And I didn't need a police officer. Many times it was a miscount on somebody's part. But in order to approach the problem correctly, I had to understand where the numbers came from. They came from nice people with good intentions who would put down a squiggly line on a piece of paper that they misinterpreted for an 8 rather than a 9, or for mm-hmm. 3 instead of a 0.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my challenge, identifying other people's errors. But it was fun. It was like, again, the attitude that I had towards the problem mm-hmm. made it easier to solve the problem.
Well, and when you think about it, it is God's language because
yes, mm-hmm.
it's universal.
Yes, yes.
I have students that I teach that don't speak any English,
mm-hmm.
but they can still do the math.
Okay.
And then there wouldn't be any physics mm-hmm. without math. There
right.
wouldn't be any chemistry without math.
Hallelujah.
When you think of all of the major things that we do, of course there'd be no technology if there wasn't somebody somewhere who really had taken the time to learn math.
That's right. And of course we need the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God wants us to follow His plan for our lives. God is the Father. You know, He sent His Son to show us how to live. And then when His Son went back to heaven to be with the Father, He left us a homie. Mm-hmm. Holy Ghost in me. Holy Ghost in me. And it's the Holy Ghost who guides us and nudges us along. He's kind of our little conscience that pricks us in the back of the neck and says, you know, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You really ought to pay for that extra candy bar in the other hand. You really shouldn't talk badly about the math teacher. She's just trying to do her best with the tools she has.
That's right.
Instead, help her. You know, if you know something that might help her, raise your hand in class and ask, may you make a suggestion? And if she accepts your suggestion, you might have taught her something.
That's
just
right.
Like I learned a rhyme for my daughter that helped me to understand the importance of education. I'm John the Wiz, and I'm here to say education is the only way. So party hardy, that's all fine. But while you shake your body, don't forget about your mind. Whether you come from near or far, you too can be an academic star. Short or tall, sister or brother, black or white, doesn't matter what the color. Stand up and be proud of yourself. You're as smart as anyone else.
That's wonderful.
12-year-old.
Well, now tell us about... We want to promote what you do.
Well, I've read the book, Calculator Magic Made Easy. I believe that calculators can be used to educate people from the age of 4 to 104. If you're over 104, I can't help you. But 4 to 104, the idea is that you're having fun with the calculator and fun with math. And I wrote the book specifically from the perspective of somebody who hated math with a passion, who is now a convert.
Amen.
And of course, sometimes those are the worst ones to have preaching to you. But but the point is that I know the weakness that I had, and I know the strength that I now have because I've changed my attitude. So my encouragement is that you go to my website.
Yes, your website.
CalculatorMagicBook.com. CalculatorMagicBook.com.
We'll make sure and put that on our website
and
as well.
CalculatorMagicBook.com is where you can take a look at the book. I have some examples of the various tricks you can use to excite children about math, excite adults about math, and change some attitudes. I wrote the book in plain language, plain, nothing over flowery, not trying to impress you with my edumacation. I simply want you to find the joy that I now have for learning and sharing math. And of course, my email address is John, J-O-H-N, the, T-H-E, Wiz.
That's three Z's.
W-I-Z as in zoo, Z as in zebra, Z as in zipper. And you've got .com,
AOL.com,
and you can send me an email and say how much you enjoy the program. And I'm always available to come out to groups and create math excitement for high school, middle school, preschool, ages 4 to 104, senior citizen homes, wherever you need me, call. And I'll be happy to spread the word that math is fun and numbers are your friend.
Fantastic. We have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.